Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Break Up With What Broke You, How God Redeems and Rewrites Your Story, by Christian Bevere. Narrated by Christian Bevere.
To my little sisters, may your lives be rich in beauty and laced in the wholeness God's woven for you. The Breakdown, Part 1. Ready the release. Uproot the weeds impeding your growth. The barriers keeping you from your betrothed. Roll the dice, take a gamble in faith. You won't be abandoned, you won't be scathed. Be intimate with brokenness, for wholeness will accompany the act. Any damage assessed and addressed will heal if allowed to extract. These pinpricks trickle a purposeful relief, releasing the grips of the enemy, the liar, the thief. Through fists clenched and knuckles pale, let go, breathe, and know his plans are derailed. You are healing, you are releasing, you are uncovering, you are liberating. Be brave now. Break down every piece that's stolen your hope, your security, and your peace. Chapter 1. What broke you? The wound is the place where the light enters you. Rumi. A major breakthrough. That first big break. These triumphs aren't reserved for only professionals and the elite. Even the hard-pressed obtain vitality through living out their purpose. Stories of significance and grandeur are still being written, or rewritten today. If you've been broken, you can have a breakthrough. The author of the universe has more ahead for you. Moving through the very things that held you back will lead to the ability to move on from the past. We're broken people, but broken things rebuild stronger. We do not need to fear, for Christ made a way for us to be restored completely in him, as his own body was broken on the cross. All the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. Colossians 1:20. Naturally broken things are tossed aside without a second thought. But our Creator doesn't love us naturally. His supernatural grace redeems and rewrites our story, fashioning and mending us anew. We're going to break down what's left you feeling broken. We're going to break away from the pain of the past. We're going to break through to the promises of the future. But all this depends on you, because breakthrough is a noun and a verb, a promise and an action. You need to allow yourself transformation. You need to break up with what broke you. Faulty foundations. Not all homes are built the same, but each follows a blueprint that requires a strong base. Pretty exteriors can't rectify broken interiors. You could have a structure as grand as the Taj Mahal or as eye-catching as the Palace of Versailles, yet the entire construction would be at risk of destruction if the foundation were out of line. This rings true with our inner health as well. Some of us are good at masking what's going on under the surface and putting on a pretty smile. On the outside, we look fine, but deep down, something is off. Just like in a home with a faulty foundation, the longer we put off getting down to the core of what's shifted and misaligned, the more it'll cost. It takes only one little loose brick to cause a slope. Interestingly, the homes you'd think would have issues aren't always the ones that do. Many buyers shy away from purchasing an older home and opt for one built in the last 10 years in the hopes of getting a better built, longer standing home. But sometimes the homes with the most issues are the newer models. Many older homes boast master craftsmanship and quality materials that will outlast and outshine some of their younger neighbors. You may think, but I'm not broken, or I shouldn't feel broken. I have great friends, a good life, and everything looks good on the surface, so I'm good. The book of Hebrews tells us, for every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. And we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence in the hope in which we glory. Hebrews 3:4-6. Tending to the structure and rebuilding when and where needed ensures a home's longevity. We can do the same for our inner structure. Take the journey of this book to dive deep into your emotions, history, character, and hopes, and ask yourself, what's been broken and could use some rebuilding? It doesn't mean we're less than or behind, It's not a cliche like a New Year's resolution. This is a serious investment in our present and future. Avoiding our brokenness will cost us more down the road, while investing in our breakthrough will grant us more in the long run. Building back better. We must first address the root of the problem at hand, or any surface additions and supplemental repairs will be done in vain. Whether it's the one with Chip and Joanna or Scott and Drew, every home repair show encounters a costly, unseen repair, such as additional support beams, updated wiring and electric, or busted water pipes. And you'll hear the phrase, "No one likes spending money where you can't see it, but I promise this will be worth the investment." I get it. It's not glamorous to do the inner work. There's a reason retail therapy is prized and true therapy is shied away from. You can buy a cute top and show it off the same day, but a new heart takes time and grit. If you're navigating heartbreak, the widely accepted and supposedly gratifying medicine is to go on a rebound date, hit the town with your friends, or take that perfect photo to make your ex jealous. Well, if he's still following you on Instagram, which now you have to go check right away and stop, it doesn't work. What seems too good to be true often is. The advertised quick fix doesn't really fix much. There's a reason some journeys are referred to as the path of least resistance. Healing takes time and determination, just like building a home. I've learned that lesson both personally and professionally. I reference homes as examples because I love designing and flipping them. Hey, HGTV, if you need a new show, I'll keep my phone nearby. But quicker and easier isn't always better or longer lasting, especially in our shelters, be it our hearts or our homes. When my husband Arden and I flipped our first property in Nashville, a cozy brick loft downtown, we did it all by ourselves by removing what wasn't working in the space's favor and building a better design. But quickly, time is money in renovation. One of the biggest upgrades was the kitchen, where we added a stunning island, open shelving, and a calcata marble backsplash. When we bought the beautiful Italian stone, the store associate told us about a new time-saving backsplash application that was much quicker and easier than traditional grout. Basically, it was a lay and stick method. Yes, give me that versus hours of mixing messy sand-like material. We spent a few hours laying the tile and it was stunning. One of my favorite backsplash looks. The next day, we returned to the property and found the kitchen floor covered in pieces of what was supposed to be our beautiful backsplash. Overnight, the dream solution turned into a nightmare. We had to rebuy all the materials and start over, this time using grout. Lesson learned. At the end of the day, the quick and easy route proved futile and doubled the work. Now we always go with the proven long-lasting method, even if it does require more work, because we've seen firsthand that the outcome is worth it. Trying to heal broken areas of our lives with easy fixes will just lead to more brokenness. I remember taking that familiar route after every high school or college breakup and only ever feeling spent afterwards. I'd bury all my emotions, letdowns, and frustrations and hope I could turn the corner to something comforting. But those emotions were building up like bursting water pipes. We can only shove so much down before we bust. After my last breakup, I was ready to accept that my system of dealing with heartbreak, along with my insecurities, afflictions, and self-reproach, was broken, and it stemmed from somewhere deep and affected others in my life. More on that later. I knew at least one brick was loose, and I didn't want everything to come crumbling down. It was time for me to pay a pretty penny, roll up my sleeves, and assess the damage. Many of us would have no clue where to begin if our actual home's foundation started to crack. We'd need to call a professional. I felt that way with my heart. This was work for someone who knew what they were doing, who knew the infrastructure inside and out. So, on a rainy Friday night, with zero plans but numerous emotions, I plopped down on my bedroom floor and said, "God, I'm a mess. I need you to teach me how to heal from the inside out." That admittance signaled a new beginning, a chance for freedom from the downhill spiral I'd been in. It freed me from the internal prison I'd been keeping myself in. Ironically, the more I accepted and admitted, the more I felt acquitted. Now, I find no pleasure in starting a "yay, we're all hot messes" club. The movie rights to that story have already been taken anyways. But I do hope that through this book, you'll find that any brokenness you've experienced is not your end, but your beginning. When we fall, we have a father who's willing to pick us up and dust us off. He shows us a new way, a better way. When we turn to Him and raise our hands in that childlike posture of surrender, He's able to lift us up to where we long to be. But we must adopt that position of surrender and trust His plan. After all, as our Creator, He knows the layout for our lives best. As Psalm 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain." This verse puts it plainly. We need God. He is our firm foundation for every area of life. We see this truth repeated throughout Scripture. "Behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste." Isaiah 28:16. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Luke 6:48. "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care of how he builds upon it." 1 Corinthians 3:10. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Ephesians 2:20. Jesus is the master. He can find the cracks we've been covering and identify the source of the decay. In my semi-defeated state, crying out to God for guidance, I knew I had plenty of good intentions in my search for love. But from my track record, it was evident I was not qualified to handle my relationships on my own. I also knew this area was tied to my self-esteem, my mental health, and my faith. Once I was honest in my self-assessment, I concluded that on my own, I was unskilled in the art of developing feelings, illiterate in reading my own motives, and inexperienced in fostering a healthy approach to conflict. It was time to call in the professional. He came in and allowed what could have crumbled to be built back better. Famous for what's breaking. In the last year, I've been shocked to see ghastly and heartbreaking statements spread across social media platforms. And the rise of the debate around abortion, men and women alike went so far as to say they wished their own mothers had aborted them because they despised their lives. Despite the feminist movement claiming to unite females everywhere, women are tearing each other apart more than ever in comment threads, shaming one another for how they look or what they believe. Our generation has seen isolation and failing mental health lead many to lost relationships, stolen peace, and most heartbreaking of all, the devaluing of life and purpose. We haven't been rebuilding from our breakage. We've been burying. Currently, we're facing terrifying facts like these. 73% of Gen Z report they feel alone, either sometimes or always. Gen Z's mental health is at risk, with only 45% reporting excellent or very good mental health, the lowest of any generation. Nearly half of Gen Z and millennials globally say they are stressed all or most of the time. Could it be that we feel broken because we're not standing on a firm foundation? In tough times especially, we need solid ground. The Leaning Tower of Pisa has become famous for its slope, but what caused the slant in the first place? The ground underneath the structure is unstable. Over decades, it's been giving way on one side, causing an increasing degree of lean. It's not just London Bridge that's falling down. Many of us have seen a Facebook friend's tourist photo reenacting the signature Pisa pose with her hands up as if they're supporting the famous structure from falling over. While there are numerous fascinating buildings across Italy still standing strong today, travelers prefer to pay good money to see one that's sinking. Like the fascination with the precarious Italian bell tower slope, I've seen a societal tolerance of personal breakage. People pose beside the building, ignoring the potential danger with a smile, and sometimes I think we do the same when our lives are crumbling at the foundation. It's almost as if we're taking selfies with our pain points without acknowledging the true impending danger they pose. Shifting soil can cause a landslide. Pisa sits off kilter today because what's underneath couldn't stand the test of time. Let's not make the same mistakes with our souls. I applaud anyone who has the courage to come forth in an area of struggle and say, "I need help," or "This is the journey I'm on, but I know it's not my end." What's been off kilter in your life can be recalibrated with Christ. But first, you have to identify what's been breaking you down. We have faulty foundations to address. We have structures to secure. If we forsake the rebuilding process, We risk our own health and put those around us in harm's way. Take these chapters to heart and notice how each one speaks to your life. We've all been broken. I'm not shy about the fact that I married a great man. He's faithful, attractive, courageous, dependable. I could go on. But what surprised me after we got married was the recurring question I'd get from other women. No, not, does he have a brother? I knew that one was inevitable. I was shocked by how often someone asked me what I did to get a great guy like Arden. Was there some secret formula? Each time I'd respond, everything wrong. It's true. I stumbled and strayed more than I'd like to admit while navigating singleness. I didn't deserve an incredible man or a wonderful marriage because of anything I'd done. And beyond that, my husband wasn't a trophy I'd won. Granted, I do feel like a winner being with him, but I didn't beat out the competition by being some elite and worthy contestant. I didn't put in a certain number of hours at my local charity or have a squeaky clean halo to chorus God's favor, but I did have flaws that were met with God's overabundant grace. We are not perfect, and blessings are not prizes. See, in relationships and life in general, we believe we must be pristine and will be rewarded. But that's just not how this whole thing works. Thank goodness. This should be a relief to everyone listening to this. Because only one person was ever able to do this life without flaw. That same person now sits at the right hand of God, advocating for his truth and power to take root in our lives. Not through our works, but through his grace. Christ himself is the avenue that allows us to receive the gifts of God. James 1:17 states that every good and perfect gift is from above. Notice the use of the word gift over prize or reward. Any fruit we yield or praiseworthy portion we exhibit begins and ends with his goodness, not our own. Every blessing is God's glory on display, freely given apart from our own deservingness attached. I think somewhere in our human attempt at being good, we make the course jagged. As a kid, we may have been told that if we were on our best behavior, we could get a treat after dinner. Or perhaps if we acted out instead of dealing with the issue at hand, we lost the privilege of playing with a toy or watching TV. When we're young, we need direction and guidance to teach us as we grow in our character and understanding. But we're not robots. We err because our minds, emotions, and feelings are not systematic. When a child makes a mistake, it's an opportunity to learn why it was incorrect and how to do better. The same is true in our spiritual walk. God never asked his children to be perfect. Instead, he asked for our hearts and obedience, instruments through which he gives us wisdom and guidance. What we commonly misunderstand as a need for perfection is actually an invitation to righteousness, to be in right standing with Christ. No one gets to that place on their own. It happens only through relationship with God. His atonement allows us to draw near to him and resemble him as we are influenced by his majesty. The Bible says he makes us spotless, as white as snow. From as far as the east is from the west, that's how far who we have been and what we have done is separated from who we are in him. Psalm 103:12. Redemption severs our ties to any brokenness caused by regret, anxiety, shame, comparison, self-deprecation, all of which we'll work through in this book, and offers us a path to breakthrough with a promise of blessed belonging. No matter what we feel inside right now, no one is disinvited from this invitation. Surveying the Bible, we see those who were once disgraced display the goodness of God. He chose to use murderers, adulterers, the forgotten, shameful, unqualified, prideful, scandalous, and guilty for his glory. Here's a liberating truth bomb. You and I are imperfect beings, incapable of righting our own wrongs. Yet, through the gift of grace, he leads us from broken to beloved, for we were all broken before Christ, every single one of us. Not a single exemplary figure in the Bible was exempt from some type of failure, nor would they have been notable on their own. They depended on his grace and mercy, as we all do. There's no moral or righteous claim to fame that does not begin or end with God. When we walk with him, we experience far better and greater than we could ever achieve or imagine. I didn't get anything in life as a prize for being good enough or by lucky chance. I've seen an abundance of God's goodness, both in the joy of the highs and in the strengthening of the lows. When I put my full trust and confidence in him, Both the blessings and blessings in disguise are results of following and trusting that God's word is true, a trusty compass. I was skeptical at first too. I thought I'd blown it in nearly every area, that the brokenness I felt deep down inside would follow me forever. If it had been possible to foresee all God was going to do in my life in the last 5 years alone, I would have been the first to call a bluff on it all. There's no way, I would have challenged. Surely I had broken his heart with my callous disregard for his instruction one too many times. I was a fraction of who I should have been. That pristine daughter he deserved was chipped and crushed, better off left behind. Not on his watch. In an instant, God can redirect us from the faulty path we've been on and set us back on course. Paul can attest to that. On the road to Damascus, his entire life changed through breaking down before Christ, being blinded by seeing the glory in his presence. In a matter of 3 days, Paul went from persecuting Christians to being healed and baptized by one. The account states that in the latter moment, something like scales fell from his eyes when he received his sight. I believe that's significant to how veiled he'd been to the truth. When Jesus meets you face to face on your own dusty road of deception, it's nearly impossible to remain the same. The encounter transforms you. God has a breakthrough waiting for you, his beloved. But much like Paul, you must turn from where you were headed. I meant what I said earlier. God can do far more with the real you than the false image you hide behind. He can take your broken heart and make it whole. He can take your broken hopes and give them a second chance. He can take your broken name and fashion you a new one. Your brokenness doesn't define you when Christ defends you. His bold love steps in where we've been lacking and sets out with us on the escapade of redemption. Where we see imperfections, his perfect love makes the correction. Where we've fallen short, his mercy creates a safety net. His plans for us don't stop at the first sign of damage. They start a new road to restoration. If you feel like you're broken down on the side of the road, lost or turned around, let him lead you down this new road. Trust the journey and the destination. A big catalyst for writing this book was to correct how we view ourselves in brokenness and blessings. I hope no other woman ever asked me what I did to get blessed. Instead, I hope she wants to know what I'm doing with my blessing. You may also be blessed with an exemplary spouse or a career that pays the bills and fills you up, or a house full of children, or an ailment that healed miraculously. Every one of us has been entrusted with blessings we can either take for granted or make an impact with. The blessing we all have is the gift of second chance for our redemption and God's repurposing. God offers that to you freely, but before you can wholeheartedly take his hand, you must let go of what you're still holding on to. You need to break up with what broke you, leaving your less for more. Breakups are typically synonymous with rocky road ice cream, rom-com reruns, and rough crying sessions. They mean heartache and suggest individual brokenness. But what if the breakup isn't the cause of the pain, but instead is the liberation you've needed? A good breakup can set you loose from a bad love affair. It can void the chains that bound you to a broken system. A toxic relationship is a festering ground for regret. A clean break is a chance for healing. Some breakups in life and in fiction are memorable because they show how we can be better off taking that leap of faith than we are in staying in the wrong relationship. For example, Rachel dumping Ross on Friends after he cheated because they were definitely not on a break. Some will disagree with me here, but I'm okay with that. Or perhaps whomever Beyonce was singing about in the power hit Irreplaceable, telling that guy to the left, to the left. Some breakups are needed so we can find the right thing. Whether that's the right partner or, more keenly related to this book, the right path. You must break up with what broke you to find your breakthrough. You can leave your less for more. You can stop settling and start succeeding. These are what I like to call for the best breakups. The benefits of a for the best breakup. 1, severance from your past. 2, ability to grow from your mistakes. 3, flourishing in your mental health. 4, creating unshakable confidence. 5, cultivating healthier relationships. 6, developing intimacy with God. 7, replacing bad habits with better ones. 8, gaining a mindset marked by peace. It's time to say sayonara and good riddance to your inner inclination towards negativity. You've got to break up with that inner critic bringing you down. And I mean a clean break. Burn the old photos that bring back painful memories. Throw out the old sweater that reminds you of shame. Block the calls of regret that won't leave you alone. Breaking up with what broke you will be the most liberating, transformative split you'll ever have. Promise me, in yourself, that as you listen, you'll take each chapter to heart. My goal is to become your literary best friend who tells you the truth, even when it's hard, like your real-life best friend who wouldn't let you get back with your bad news ex. When it comes to the hurts and hindrances of the past, change your number, throw out the keys, and pack those bags, baby, because your breakthrough journey starts now. Chapter 2. Broken moments we can't forget. There was a long, hard time when I kept far from me the remembrance of what I had thrown away when I was quite ignorant of its worth. Charles Dickens. There are moments that feel like they last a lifetime. Our first kiss, a difficult goodbye, looking in the rearview mirror right before a car crash. Seconds can become scenes locked into our memories. These moments happen almost in slow motion. That's because even though it takes 100 milliseconds to create a moment, the psychological effects of that moment can last a lifetime. When a memory is positive, these effects are marvelous. But when that moment was a breaking point, they can be haunting. Professor of Psychiatry J. Kim Pemberthy wrote an article on how regret connects to our psyche. She states that imaging studies reveal that feelings of regret show an increased activity in an area of the brain involved in decision-making called the medial orbitofrontal cortex. Essentially, our feelings or moments of regret aren't reserved to our actions in the past, but influence the decisions we make, ways we behave, and what we believe about our future. For example, if you were learning an activity like snowboarding and crashed, your instructor may check on you, then tell you to get up and try again. People use this tactic to help one quickly get back to accomplishing the task at hand and not let negative emotions or memories set in. How we carry and remember events in our lives has a major influence on our mental state, perception, and even happiness. In her article, Pemberthy also states that dealing with regret is exceedingly difficult because it can bring on other secondary emotions, such as remorse, sorrow, and helplessness. Regret can increase our stress, negatively affect physical health, and throw off the balance of hormone and immune systems. Regret is not only unpleasant, it is unhealthy. Whoever you are and wherever you come from, you likely have that one moment you wish you could forget. The moment everything shifted. You know, the one that lingers, whispering nasty lies from the backseat and taking you off course every now and then. That moment when perhaps, tragically, your innocence was stolen. False identities were formed. Trust was broken. Lust was awakened. Something occurred that introduced the feeling of brokenness for the first time. We must break up with the moments we regret so we can see clearly who we're becoming. Pinpoint the moment. The first step in breaking up with the moments we regret is to pinpoint the moment. This is the memory that interrupts our purpose and tries to lead us astray by tying us to something ugly in the past. It's the time we regret, the event we can't stand to remember, or the instance we don't speak of, not even to our best friends. It happens so fast, but leaves so slowly. Is there a specific moment you're thinking of now? Maybe something was taken, you were misled, or you made a rash decision. It could be that you started watching pornography, casually hooking up, or running with the wrong crowd. Let me go ahead and tell you now, that moment is not the one that defines you. But you must identify these moments so that they don't hold you hostage. If you've ever broken a bone or sustained a major injury, one of the first questions you're asked is, what happened? Pain can be eliminated and healing expedited if your medical team knows where and how the damage occurred. We can take the same principle and apply it to our lives. We can't know how to heal until we know what needs healing. Identify where your regret could be stemming from. What areas of your life are hard to deal with, difficult to relive, or cause you to take one step forward, then two steps back? If we let these moments of regret define us, we allow a broken record of lies to play on repeat. Think about it. What emotions arise when you recollect that moment now? Regret whispers deprecating ideas and paints a picture in which we see ourselves as screw-ups, victims, or fragments of who we'd hoped to be. It aims to twist our identity and take away
Sample complete. Ready to continue?